It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Every minute of the last 6 months has been captured by a series of four high-end panoramic cameras trained on some of the most scenic views to be found in southwestern Pennsylvania. But the collection of pictures has not been created to help sell the city to tourists, but rather to document the pollution that not only gets in the way of seeing the landscape, but is also responsible for any number of health problems in Allegheny County. I'm joined now in Studio A by Ila Norbash, professor of robotics at Carnegie Mellon University and director of CMU's Create Lab, which has partnered with the Heinz Endowments to present BreatheCam. Dr. Norbash, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
It's a pleasure to be here, Paul.
Explain what BreatheCam is and how it works.
Sure. BreatheCam is a whole new idea for how we can engage the public in being able to visualize air pollution, interact with it and explore it over time, and then share those interactions with their friends so that we can start a group discussion across Pittsburgh about how bad our air really is and how we can make changes to that air quality that we all face.
Have we lost sight of how bad it is? I mean, you would not have needed to set up, say, 40 years ago, and I can remember this growing up here in Pittsburgh. You would not have needed cameras to see the pollution. It was visible to the naked eye on any number of days during the year. So what has happened in the 40 years since that has made this necessary?
Absolutely. My brother used to work at St. Francis before it was torn down. I used to come here, and I was aghast at the pollution that you could see in the air. And it has improved tremendously. But while we've been improving tremendously, most every other city in America has improved far greater than we have. In fact, we have the 10% worst air in the entire country right now. So every 90% of the country has better air than we do. And what's interesting about this is the stuff we have in the air now, the fine particulate matter, what we call PM 2.5, it's small. You don't see it across the street. But when you look at the horizon from a skyscraper, then you notice it. And then you realize that we are all essentially drowning and becoming unhealthy due to this very fine particles that we breathe in, goes in our lungs, goes straight to our bloodstream and causes cardiovascular disease and pulmonary disease.
Right. There are, as I mentioned, health concerns and health issues. Talk about the tangible results of pollution and how they are affecting people's health.
You know, there's some statistics that I think are just incredible. For instance, air pollution across the U.S. is killing more people than prostate cancer, AIDS, and breast cancer put together. Another one that's incredible is that several dozen journals have done articles studying the diseases we have just in Pittsburgh and correlating it to air pollution. And when you look at emergency room visits, low birth weight of babies, autism, stroke, and asthma, these studies have shown that we have much greater correlated amounts of these diseases thanks to air pollution. And that's the kind of quality of life that impacts all of us. You know, the at-risk community, when you talk about this kind of air pollution that we have, it's the children, all the elderly, anybody with heart disease, anybody with asthma, and anybody with diabetes. Well, guess what? That's about 60% of all of us.
And when you talk about this fine particulate matter that we don't see as well as we used to, where is it coming from? What's causing the pollution?
The pollution that we have, it used to be that we'd say, and I used to say this in the 70s myself, is, well, maybe it's blowing here from Chicago. But the bad news is, and the good news is, it isn't. It's actually coming from Allegheny County. Half of our pollution comes from sources in Allegheny County. More than two-thirds comes from Pennsylvania. And there are sources such as diesel, buses and trucks, even school buses that idle when they should be turning off, cars, factories, and, of course, power plants. And we also have a great deal of industrial sources here. And each one of these is a major proportion of the problem. So the good news is, it's within our grasp to try and solve the problem because they're local sources. It's something we can do something about.
And so that's the good news, and we can talk about some of those solutions. That, I'm assuming, is ultimately the goal of this project.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. I've been looking at the Shenango Coke Works facility, and you've done an outstanding show on that. What happened there and the reason you can see Allegheny County Health take a step forward there is because of democracy working right. When the people gang together and have a powerful voice and make a case, especially with visual evidence, with the kind of evidence that goes in your eyeballs and gets on your brain, that's the kind of democratic push that gives a health department the excuse to do the right thing. because no amount of political pressure will stop that when they have the people behind them pushing for change. So when we look at BreatheCam, we're looking at a citywide attempt to create the kind of pressure from the entire community of Pittsburgh, because we're all affected by this, that causes the health department and all regulatory agencies and, of course, our leaders, our civic leaders, to realize they have the best possible excuse they have to actually change things.
If you want to join the conversation with our guest, Carnegie Mellon University Professor of Robotics, Dr. Ela Norbash, who is also director of CMU's Create Lab, you can call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is essPGH@wesa.fm. And on Twitter at ESSPGH, hashtag EPLive. What are your thoughts about what can be done to help solve the pollution problem in Pittsburgh? Does this idea strike you as one that can be effective in terms of sparking conversations as well as action dealing with air quality? And what are the overall air quality concerns that you have? Again, you can join the conversation at 412-246-2002, our guest, Dr. Ela Norbash, with CMU's Create Lab. He's the director of the Create Lab, which is partnered with the Heinz Endowments to present BreatheCam. And I'm curious, Dr. Norbash, when you thought about, okay, we don't see pollution the way we used to with the naked eye, but there are ways of documenting it. What led you to believe that placing these cameras in different key locations would ultimately present the evidence, the proof that you need to make your case to the people who can do something about the pollution and the fine particulate matter in our air?
You know, we started taking very high-resolution pictures of the horizon from tall buildings, and what we noticed right off the bat is that day-to-day, the vision that you have looking at the horizon can be dramatically different. You can have 2 days of windy weather in the Mon Valley, when you can see across Braddock, you can see the hills on the other side, and it looks like California. And then on the third day, you look at the picture and you want to go wipe the glass lens on the camera because you can't see your nose. And the heartbreaking part is we started showing this data together with the actual Allegheny County Health Department sensor values. So you're seeing numbers and you're seeing pictures. And the fact that you can go backward and forward in time, zoom in on the places you care about visually on the interface, on the internet, and then see how different days of the week can look so dramatically different. It gives you a sense of the possibility of the power of change because you can see what a good day looks like. You can imagine what if every day was like that. You can also see the bad days, and you can see the factories are there, the sources are there, and these bad days when you have an inversion or you have very little wind are horrid. So it immediately makes people think, why can't we just have less pollution on those days? We know those are days when we're trapping the pollution in. It's invading our river valleys, and then it's blowing over the East End thanks to the wind and infusing our lungs.
Well, that was going to lead me to my next question, which is why is the pollution so much worse on one day as opposed to another? And the logical assumption might be that, well, on a weekend, maybe the plants aren't going as hard as they would on other days of the week and not emitting as much. But it sounds like it's a more complicated formula than that.
Yes, the depressing part is when I look down toward Ben Avon, for instance, in Avalon, Sundays are sometimes the worst days. Depressing because that's when the kids are home. They're outside trying to play in the yard. In fact,
that's an area that's impacted by the Shenango.
Absolutely. Complex. That's impacted by Shenango. It's impacted by diesel train lines running right there. It's impacted by the car traffic there as well. So what's really going on is that you can have different climate conditions. And it has much more to do with the climate combined with the way industry and traffic is acting than it does with which day of the week it is. And so we need to think carefully about the public health cost of that and how we could change that.
And so you have these pictures, and do you take them to somebody? Do you take them to the health department in Allegheny County, for example, and say, look at this and you know, match this up with the data from corresponding days, that kind of thing?
Absolutely. You know, one of the exciting things about this project is that you collect pictures. But in fact, humans have another incredibly good sensor that's really hard to replicate with a robot, which is our nose. In a lot of cases, these plants are supposed to operate in such a way that you can't smell anything beyond the fence line. And you have communities across the river valleys and up on high parts of the river valleys like Squirrel Hill, where people complain. And my neighbors in Squirrel Hill complain about how bad it smells certain mornings. Well, when it smells that bad, guess what? there's fine particulates in the air, and they are making your asthma worse. And if you have a pregnant person that's living there, they're going to be negatively impacted by that, and their baby is too. So you can take all those reports. You can take what you're smelling, what you're seeing, and absolutely make as many reports as possible of that. In fact, on our website, on the BreatheCam website, we've created a Facebook button so that you can zoom in, show part of the picture, click a button, put it on Facebook, and then you can write a comment. You can write a comment such as, it smells horrid today, and look at this picture, and hey, look at the reading. It's a 35 microgram day. It's actually orange or yellow on the EPA scale.
I'll never forget when I first moved to Pittsburgh. I was just a kid of 3 years old, and we got out of the car, and I said, Dad, it smells really funny here. And those were different days, but it's the same kind of thing. We're talking with Dr. Elin Norbosch. He is a professor of robotics at Carnegie Mellon University and director of CMU's Create Lab, which is partnered with the Heinz Endowment to present BreatheCam. You can join our conversation at 412-246-2002. Let's start with Jim in Pleasant Hills. Jim, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Yeah, thank you. I live in Pleasant Hills, which is, I guess, about 5 miles from Clareton Works. And especially in the summer when you have your windows open, around 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, the air is so bad you have to close your windows and you don't want to be out because of what Clareton is emitting. Now, on the one hand, they have done evidently built a couple of batteries or a battery that supposedly was going to make it better. But I think my main problem with what they say and what they do is that there are days when you do not smell anything during the day, but it seems that regularly, like at 9:30, 10 o'clock every night, so it comes out. Those things operate 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. They consciously know that they're putting something out at that time at night that they're not putting out in the day. Now, we don't always get it because the winds change, but we do get it. It's really bad, and my question is, what is it? What is in there that we can't see, and why can't U.S. Steel be pressured to filter it, change it, do something to it other than mask it with white clouds?
Great question, Jim.
You know, one interesting thing we did is we went on a knocking of the door campaign in North Braddock, Braddock Hills area, and it was remarkable to see how many people smell horrible smells at night in the evening. I looked through a list of complaints to the Allegheny County Health Department from folks who live in Ben Avon and Avalon in that area. Same thing. You see these reports that are heartbreaking about people who say, I can't sleep. It's 3 in the morning. I've closed my window, but it stinks so bad I simply can't sleep. What's in that air is everything from sulfur dioxide to the particulates that result from things like quenches when you're taking the Coke and putting a whole lot of water on it to cool it down, and it off-gasses a ton of nasty chemicals. And that's a pretty toxic brew. What's challenging about this is all these factories operate on a basis where they're trying to maximize profit and deal with regulations. Sometimes if you blow through a few regulations and you pay the penalty, it's actually cheaper than cleaning up. And this is a fact of capitalism. So we face a situation where sometimes the penalties are simply not stiff enough for it to make any sense for a company to really make an authentic effort to try and improve. It's better to pay a few penalties, keep on going, and produce a whole lot of material that you can sell.
So then you're saying that the citizens, people who want to take action, need to put pressure on their public officials to come up with stiffer penalties that will make it worth their while not to exceed the emission levels and the guidelines that are set forth.
Absolutely right. We need pressure that increases the fines. We need pressure to make sure penalties are put in place every single time they can. You know, GASP, Group Against Smog and Pollution, has this wonderful program called the Smoke Readers Program. They train citizen volunteers to learn how to look at the smoke coming off these plants and tell which smoke has so much opacity, it's so hard to see through, that it's actually a problem. And once you get that rating, you can actually report the smoke level authoritatively to the health department. So citizens can even become people who can almost write a citizen's report.
So the BreatheCam is really, in many ways, it's about empowerment. Of the citizenry. Jim,
absolutely.
Jim, thank you for that call. Let's go to Lorraine, also in Pleasant Hills. Lorraine, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. You're on with Dr. Elin Norbosch.
Well, hello there. I also live in Pleasant Hills, and I, too, can attest to the fact that the air is absolutely putrid. It burns my throat. you feel like you're at some kind of a campfire with your head stuck over the ashes. It is just dreadful. I have a little grandson who lives near this coke works. He lives in Jefferson, and they huge clouds. You can see them. They're poof poof poofing constantly, and at night they glow when you drive by. You can see it from the. It never stops. And my little grandson has asthma, and I go around with his burning throat. I have to shut windows. I'll say, uh-oh, I can smell the air. We have to close it. You want to sit out in your backyard? You can't do that. You can't breathe.
Well,
I've made many, many a call. I've gotten on the computer. I was told to, every time I smell bad air, to send in a report. I was on there incessantly. Didn't get me anywhere.
Well, Lorraine, is Lorraine somebody that can possibly be equipped with one of these cameras?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things we're doing for next year is we want to allow every citizen in Pittsburgh to have a chance to add to the BreatheCam system. So we can have cameras pointing at everything people see. We need an army of citizen reporters who collect the visual evidence that forces government to take the right steps. You know, a quarter of every emergency room case in America is asthma, and it's much worse here. Think about that. A quarter of everybody who walks in the ER is there because they can't breathe. It's a remarkably bad number, and it affects the quality of life of everybody. You know, the child you know who has asthma, they're going to grow up into somebody who might have exercise-induced asthma. There's so many different health consequences that has, and it's all preventable if we simply think differently about what we care about.
Thank you, Lorraine. Let's go to Ted and the aforementioned Ben Avon. Ben, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Yes, thanks for taking me. Ted Popovich again, and I'm with the newly formed group called Allegheny County Clean Air Now, and that's the group that Ilya mentioned. So we're very unhappy with the way things have progressed or not progressed in our part of the county, especially because of the Chenango Coke Works. If you go back to 1998, it's like a bad movie being replayed over and over and over again. So we're making a lot of noise, and thank you for this program again. So at the end of the day, how do we get things to change? From my perspective, the plant is 52 years old. The owners, DTE Energy, will never put the money into it that should be put into it because it's a poor return on investment. So from where I sit, I think it should be shut down. So how do we get anyone to see it our way so we have a better living environment here?
It's a good,
we can open our windows.
It's a good question, Ted. How for the residents who simply say it's not worth having, it's not worth the health risks to have this kind of industry in our area, how do you get a plant like Chenango shut down?
Well, the very first step is hope by pointing at example cities. If you look at Denver, it was a dirty city when I was growing up. It's cleaner than 80% of other cities now. Boston was dirty. It's cleaner than 75% of other cities. We're cleaner than 8% of other cities. So we are one of the dirtiest cities in the country still. They cleaned up by changing regulations, by changing the rules of operation. In our case, we can do very specific things. We can change the diesel idling laws, make them even tougher, make sure anybody in a diesel vehicle turns that thing off when they're not moving. We can change the cleanliness regulations around diesels. We could be as forward-thinking as California, which created an air resource board and actually changed the air quality of the entire state by looking at vehicular traffic. We could take any day that there's an inversion layer or a wind that's still and reduce the factory production allotments, so that we're not putting as much pollution into the air that our citizens have to breathe. We could change the diesel train schedules on days when there's inversion layers and bad pollution. So there's so much we can do by being flexible to the climate and how the climate's changing. As for shutting down a whole plant, I think the most important thing we can do about that is actually an economic argument. We can try and push the government to understand the economic impact of bad air quality on all the people in Pittsburgh. Then we can weigh that against the finances of the government, of the company, and against the employment opportunities that the company creates. We have to be rational. If we can make that rational picture, then we can really understand that keeping a plant open is important for some jobs, but here is the pecuniary impact it has on the quality of life and the finances of tens of thousands of people.
What you're saying makes a lot of sense. Is it feasible? You're talking about really gathering up all of the health records of thousands of citizens.
It's absolutely feasible. We have 32 peer-reviewed journal articles that have come out where they've evaluated the health records of citizens of Pittsburgh for national reasons to look at and show how air pollution causes poor health. So we know scientists know how to do that part, and we have excellent universities in town who can deal with the economic analysis. But if we can build that economic analysis and present it to the city, we can leave no way out except to do what's best for the people.
And that seems to always be what it comes down to, is the money involved.
Sadly, yes, but let's use it to our benefit this time.
Let's take one last call from James in Fayette County, who appears to be a bit of a skeptic here. James, welcome, and you're on with Dr. Ela Norbash.
Yeah, Paul, I don't want to be a doubting Thomas, and doctor, I appreciate what you do, and the solutions you gave were terrific, but I live in Fayette County here, and I got two questions. Across the Washington County has to do that, you know, car pollution stuff costs them $25. They don't do that in Fayette County. They don't do that in Washington County. I mean, in Somerset County. They don't do that in Greene County. And you mean that you want me to believe that somebody like Houston, Oklahoma City, Louisiana, with all the chemical, all the pollution that those drilling people do down there, they don't. Our air's worse than theirs, and I'll hang up. What's about the Marcellus Shell? Is that making an impact on our air? Thanks, doctor.
Okay, well, James, thank you. So that's a two-part question. The first part is Pittsburgh really, is our air really worse than some of the areas he mentioned, Houston, Oklahoma City, I think he said one part of Louisiana may have been Lafayette. So what about that?
Yeah, those are two great questions, James. I appreciate the call. Actually, it's interesting. If you go to the Breathe Project website, I think it's breatheproject.org, it actually lets you compare the air in Pittsburgh across lots of other cities from Cleveland to Houston. And you can see for yourself how we compare. And you're absolutely right. There are some cities that have horrible air in Texas thanks to a lot of gas development work. North Dakota has some terrible air, even though there's almost nothing there, but there is. There's the whole back and shale industry there. So there are cities that have bad pollution.
And what about the shale?
The shale is a really interesting one because, in fact, it's not simply the extraction of the natural gas that's the problem. It's all the other activities around that. It's the diesel trucks. It's the compressor stations. And now we're talking about bringing in companies that are going to do plastics manufacturing with the feedstock. And that introduces basically those crazy images of Texas to Pennsylvania where you have these lights that glow at night and make it look like some kind of alien territory. Those feedstocks and that petrochemical industry that we bring is going to change the air quality around Pittsburgh in ways that are absolutely dramatic and horrible.
And we've been talking about how the Breathe Cam is affecting Pittsburgh. Who else is this technology being offered to?
Well, we're really excited to start offering it in our own city and state first and then expanding out from there. I'd like to see it in some rural areas around Pittsburgh where we do have some Marcellus Shale extraction efforts going on. And then we're probably going to offer it to other cities in the Mid-Atlantic region. In fact, I'm going to be driving out to a conference in the Mid-Atlantic region health departments to tell them about our efforts here in Pittsburgh and hopefully have us serve as a model for lots of cities up and down the East Coast.
Our guest has been Dr. Ela Norbash, professor of robotics at Carnegie Mellon University and director of CMU's CREATE Lab, which has partnered with the Heinz Endowments to present Breathe Cam. Dr. Norbash, it's been a pleasure meeting and visiting with you here in Essential Pittsburgh Studio A. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure, Paul.
Coming up, will we see a renewal of that Pitt-Penn State rivalry in football this bowl season? It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. Thank you.